This is a two-parter. So if you weren't here last week, I would encourage you to have a listen on the webpage to what I was talking about then. Last year, the Church of England, Evangelical Alliance, Hope UK, about 40 different streams within the National Church, came together to produce a thing called Talking Jesus, or to give it its proper name. Could I have the next slide up? Perceptions of Jesus, Christians and evangelism. Basically, it was the biggest survey that's been undertaken within this country probably ever about people's views about the Christian faith, about Jesus, about Christianity, and about how kind of, well, particularly from the point of view of the Christians that were kind of questioned, how they personally came to faith. And last week we were thinking particularly about what people thought about Jesus, and about who he was, and about the resurrection. And today we're going on to think a little bit more about kind of what people think about us. That's an interesting one. And also a little bit more about how people that have become Christians came to faith and kind of what lessons we might want to learn kind of from their journeys. And last week's reading kind of led into what we were doing last week. This week's reading leads into what we're doing this week. So last week we were at that kind of turning point in Jesus' ministry when he takes his disciples aside at Caesarea Philippi. And he asks them the question, who am I? And last week was all about who people think Jesus is today. This week we've jumped back to the beginning of his ministry. And when people first started to follow him. So just to kind of pick up on things you might have missed if you weren't here last week, so you kind of get where we are from a starting point. If I could have the next slide, Rob, thanks. Kind of the survey kind of came to, basically said that 60% of people believe that Jesus was a real person. 22% said that they thought he was a myth. 18% of people were undecided. This was kind of people's perceptions about Jesus. Of those that believed he was a real person, kind of going down the page, 17% thought he was just an ordinary human being. 21% thought he was God in human form. 30% thought he was a prophet or a teacher, which is quite fascinating because when kind of Jesus asks the disciples that question, who do the people say I am? Kind of that's actually, in his day, that was the kind of the answer most people came up with. Kind of, I reflected on what some of this meant a bit last week, and there isn't time to do that this week, but it lays the foundations for what we're going to be thinking about kind of later on. One of the other things that kind of is quite strange about this, and I haven't put it up there, is when people were asked about the resurrection, something like 40% of people actually believe that Jesus really rose from the dead. So there's a kind of fascinating kind of disconnect in between people making sense of the fact that he rose from the dead and who he was, because for most of us that points to his divinity. Okay, this week, the next slide. What people think about Christians, how people come to a personal faith. And when the survey was done, kind of one of the questions was kind of how people identified themselves. And if you were here last week, you'll remember that 58% of the people surveyed actually identified themselves as Christian. Now, when you dug deeper, only 9% actually identified as practicing Christians. And the kind of the thing that marked that out in particular was people that worshipped regularly, kind of on a monthly basis, people that prayed, people that read their Bible, kind of that was kind of the distinctive about practicing Christian as opposed to people that would just kind of identify as kind of Christian in one way, shape or form as another. So our reading today, just to kind of take that as a starting point, I think reflects an interesting shift in kind of that opening chapter of John. It begins with John, in the first few verses, kind of doing some pretty deep theology about who Jesus is. And then it kind of gets into actually individuals making sense of this for themselves. It moves on to John the Baptist, the man that God has sent to prepare the way for Jesus, and him talking about Jesus coming. And there's no baptism narrative in John, but it's kind of alluded to. It talks about the Spirit descending on him. Could we have the slide up? Thanks. Did I have a slide with a Bible verse? Yay. Thanks. Sorry. I said, Rob has got a really full job because I said, don't put the slides up till I ask for them. And then I've got them in the wrong order in my notes, but don't worry about it. So kind of Andrew Peter, Simon's brother, was one of the two that said, who had heard what John was said and who followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we found the Messiah, and he brought him to Jesus. So John's gospel begins with some theology about who Jesus is, the Logos, the Word of God. It goes on to John preparing the way and alluding to the significance of Jesus. And then it moves into kind of individual people's responses to Jesus. People that kind of start to find there's more to him and want to be part of him. And there's this kind of fascinating shift. So the record goes on to record Andrew and his brother Simon Peter coming to Jesus, and then Jesus dealing with Nathanael's questions about him. And so we're kind of pick up on some of that as we go through. And this is where I wanted the encountering Jesus slide. Sorry, I'm completely out of place in my notes. Doesn't help the timing. So kind of how do people encounter Jesus? Well, our mission statement is about igniting passion for Jesus. And that's kind of, that has different kind of levels. It's personal. It's about us. It's as individuals. It's about us as a church. It's why we have things like pods and house groups. We want to kind of stir us up to believe. But it also kind of goes on to that one other window. That actually, if Jesus matters so much to us, we want others to be as captivated by him as we are. So how do people find him? And we get a little bit of a window of that in this reading, and the survey kind of picks up on those sorts of questions. And kind of in the heart of the reading, actually, it's all about people bringing other people to Jesus. And kind of that's one of the key things that comes out as we go through this kind of survey. It's interesting, because we can now jump to the next slide. Most non-Christians in the UK would say that they know a Christian. 67% of the population would say that they know a Christian. 26% would say they don't know a Christian. 7% would say they don't know whether they know a Christian or not. They may know a Christian, but they've never seen kind of anything in that person's life to kind of point that one out. That's a bit of an indictment, but we won't even go there on that one. So where does that lead us to? How do people come to faith? Well, if we can just, just keep that one up there. This is where it gets interesting. Could we have slide 8? Is that slide 8? Oh, flip. Yep. Sorry, I got up early to go through this, so I would know exactly where I was with these. Okay, so who are these people that they know? Well, for 38%, it's a friend. For 35%, it's family. Sorry if it's a bit small up there. Interesting, isn't it? 15%, it's an acquaintance. 7%, it's a work colleague. And I don't know about you, I found that quite fascinating. And I just found myself pondering that. Last year, we spent a lot of time thinking about what it means to be a Christian in the workplace. And I found myself wondering, why is it that's the least likely place for people to identify that they know a Christian? Is it because it's kind of forbidden in the workplace that you don't talk about faith? But does that mean we don't say what we do on our weekend, when we say, how was your weekend, when we see people, when we get to work? Is it because that's where we lack confidence when we talk to people? That for me is one of the really kind of interesting things that comes out there. Some for a neighbour. And then the most fascinating one on there, and you probably can't see it, right down the bottom there's the smallest statistic of all. The least number of people would say they know a church leader. Now just ponder that a moment. Basically that means in terms of people coming to faith, people like Mark and I are absolutely useless. Sorry, Mark, I've just kind of disillusioned you about your new career choice. You know, what it means is when people kind of come to faith, when they know someone that actually points them to faith, when they know someone that's a Christian, you guys are actually a whole lot more significant than professional Christians, people that are involved in ministry. And kind of, I think you need to hear that, because sometimes it can be very easy to kind of think of it the other way round. Kind of, I'm an ordinary Christian, I wouldn't really know what to say or what to do. Kind of, you know, that's why we've got professional Christians. Kind of, they can explain it. Kind of, we'll bring them along to hear them. And actually, what this is kind of saying is, actually the people that are most effective are you guys, and not people that wear dog collars or don't, as the case may be. Okay, the next question is an interesting one. 60% of the population know Christians, kind of, they're people in their family, they're their friends, sometimes it's work colleagues or acquaintances, occasionally it's a clergyman. Then there's the big question, and we'll just have the heading up, what do they think about us? What do people think about Christians? And last week, this was helpful, I think. Just take a moment with the person next to you to kind of ponder that one. What do people, what do you think comes to mind when people think about Christians? What are the, pick out a few words that you think come to mind. Now, what are the words that come to mind when Christians hit the news or are in the papers? Okay, any suggestions? Any offerings? The first one I heard was Jill, hypocritical. Any kind of advance on hypocritical? Karen? Deluded? Jess? Okay, but fruitless. Fruitcakes. Okay, Mark? Judgmental. That's interesting. That's a very shrewd analysis, Mr. Smith. It's a very shrewd analysis. Okay, hold that thought. That's interesting. Anyone else want to throw something in? Deado. Passionate and kind. Okay. I mean, I find it fascinating because when I heard this, kind of, this is probably the bit I did the biggest kind of gulp. I really don't believe that. Because the things I see, I guess, are what I see on television or what I read in papers. And frequently the kind of, it's about moral issues or stuff like that. And the stuff that I personally hear are things like homophobic, arrogant, intolerant, hypocrites, those are the words that kind of the ones that I kind of see in the media, I would say. If we have the next slide up, the good news is they like us. Isn't that it is quite good news, isn't it, really? Because actually, Rob's analysis is the one that was spot on, actually. I'm seriously impressed for having looked at, unless you've been reading the survey and not told me about it, Rob, but I mean, you know. The phrase that most came to mind when people thought of Christians was friendly, 65%. Caring, 51%. Good humoured, they've got a sense of humour, how about that? 46. Generous, 38. Encouraging, 26%. Hopeful, 24%. It's only kind of, you get really down, low down the percentages. If we come to the next slide. When you get into the negative stuff, you know, actually, hypocritical, 10. Narrow-minded, 13. Hypocritical, 10. Uptight, 8. Homophobic, 7. Foolish, 6. Selfish, 5. Unhappy, 4. Invasive, 4. So actually, kind of, there seems to be a big divide, I think, between what the media kind of says about Christians and how they present Christians. And I think the danger is that that's what we believe. Because we see it, it's thrown at us the whole time that this is what Christians are like. And it's kind of things, and sadly, there are times when Christians do give the media ammunition to print stories that show them as homophobic or, you know, or arrogant or kind of unpleasant at times. So, you know, sometimes we don't help ourselves. But actually, the experience of most people is the opposite. It's actually really possible. And that really matters, because it translates into people's openness to talk about faith. And I think particularly because sometimes we kind of expect a negative view of ourselves, we often also kind of expect a negative attitude to talking about faith. Now this slide's a little bit more tricky, but kind of, I just want to paint a bit of picture about how people that are non-Christian seem to feel about having, about talking about faith with Christians. And this is a kind of a survey of kind of half of the non-Christians, 58%, that have had a conversation with Christians about faith. So only about just over half have actually had a conversation about faith in Jesus. It's also amongst, so kind of 56 have had a conversation about Jesus. 36% of those who came to faith described that conversation as significant. So kind of the friendships and the conversations that we have with people are a significant part of people coming to faith. And kind of the background is most of those conversations are with a friend, 44%. Some are with family members, 18%. Some are with an acquaintance. Some are with a colleague. Clergymen don't even get on there for that one. Okay, so what impact do these conversations have? Can we have the next slide? 16% said that they were sad as a result of that conversation that they didn't share that Christian's faith. Interestingly, 42% were glad that they didn't. No, what that says. This one is quite mixed, and you have to kind of look a little bit deeper with it. But actually, it's not all negative, although it's kind of, there's some food for thought in it. 19% wanted to know more if they had a chat with a Christian about faith. 59% didn't. Okay. 20% open to an experience or an encounter with Jesus. 49% not. 23%, more positive towards Jesus, 30% more negative. So that's kind of 50-50-ish. 26% closer to the person that shared. 29% felt less close, that somehow it kind of highlighted differences. Again, kind of 50-50. But the big one for me in this is that 53% of people actually felt comfortable about that conversation. Hadn't been anything about it that felt untoward or disturbed them. Only kind of 30% didn't. So actually, you know, despite the fact that kind of, you know, having a conversation didn't mean that people were necessarily queuing up to become a Christian, what it did mean was actually people came away from it as it was an okay experience. Can we just jump on to the next slide? So the big issues that kind of come out of this are, first one is actually the number of people that know a Christian that have never actually had a conversation with them. Those stats don't add up. I've taken them from two different places. But 50% of people that know a Christian have actually never talked about faith stuff with them. And actually it kind of sounds like there's almost a sense they would have liked that opportunity, which kind of ought to provoke us, I think. Even though kind of when you look through people's responses to kind of those conversations that, well, some felt they wanted to know more about Jesus, more perhaps thought they wouldn't, the baseline there is that 20% of those people that did have a conversation with a Christian were open to know more about Jesus. That's 20%, that's one in five. So kind of, you just kind of do that, the logic of that. As you all know, I'm no mathematician, but even I can work that one out. You know, if you have five conversations with people, actually one of those people is going to want to know more about Jesus. That's quite encouraging, isn't it? I find that quite encouraging. You know, if you kind of, you know, if we invest time in people, and if we are willing to open up about what matters to us and our faith, for every five people we're talked to, you know, most of them are going to be kind of really quite comfortable about it, but actually one in five is going to want to know more. And that's actually quite exciting. Okay. So what about people that are Christians? What were the factors that brought them to faith? Okay. For most, actually, no, let's just stay. Another moment. Have a chat amongst your friends again. What do you think would be the key factor in people that have become Christians, becoming Christians? Just a moment. Just to, you know, you may want to list more than one, just a key factor. Okay, I'm aware that I said I'd be 25 minutes and I've not quite used my 25 minutes, but I'm running out of it. A kind of key factors, any suggestions? Jess? A desire you have, so kind of something inside you that was hungering for it, okay? A personal hunger, that's interesting. Any other suggestions, kind of things that were key? Graham? Significant life event, positive or negative life event, you know, definitely. Any others? Seeing what someone else has got and wanting it, someone's peace perhaps, okay. Okay, interesting how people come at different angles. Okay, for the next slide, for most people coming to faith is a journey. The biggest key factor in people becoming Christians actually is growing up in a Christian home. 41% of people that become Christian at some stage in life actually started out in a Christian home. That's not to say that they stay there the whole while. You know, often there's the kind of the teenage years or even into their 20s of going away, but coming back later. But the fundamental importance of what happens in your homes is really clear there. And it also, I think, added to that, because we want to support you in that, I think it also underlines the significance of kind of kids' work and youth work at church. Plays a big part in that. Most people would talk about it being a journey that took place over a long period of time. Some people would talk about it, 18%, being a series of key decisions. A minority about it being one sudden decision where they suddenly decided that they were going to follow Jesus. But the key thing I think that comes out of that is actually the place of family. Okay, so let's jump on. Let's be a bit more specific. People were asked, what were the key factors? And they were asked to list two or three that made the most difference about them coming to faith. And this kind of, I find, really fascinating. Can we have the next slide up? Thanks. You can't read it, so I'll read them out to you, okay? From what's already been said, you're going to guess that the first one is going to be family. 41% would say family was the key thing in them coming to faith. The second highest factor is actually attending church, coming along somewhere like this where they kind of see the thing lived out and encounter Christians worshipping. So kind of church is the next. After that, actually, mate, is it a surprise? Reading the Bibles. Just having a Bible or a piece of scripture put in their hand and reading that. Then a conversation with a Christian they know well, 27%. An experience of the love of Jesus Christ. That kind of feeds into some of the things we've been saying. Some sort of spiritual experience, 17%. A positive or a negative life event, 16%. That picks up. A conversation with a Christian you don't know well, 9%. Compare that with the conversations with a Christian that you do know well, which was 27%. It means that actually the people we share with, that we're in relationship with, actually that's where our words have the most weight and bear the most fruit. Dan's not come back in from the football, has he? I don't want to break his heart, really. A Christian union or uni program, 6%. Church outreach, like toddlers, food banks, all that sort of thing, 5%. And here's the scary one. Kind of alpha, kind of a basic Christianity course, 5%. And we kind of think about those things being, well, I don't know about you, as a professional Christian, you kind of think about those things being the flagship things that are used to introduce people to Jesus. Media, books, TV, dreams, we'll stop there. And for me, it just begs the question, what should we prioritize? And any suggestions before I tell you what I think the answer is? Yeah, family and friends. You know, it's so easy to think we need the next super duper program to introduce people to Jesus. And actually the most effective thing to introduce people to Jesus is family and friends, i.e. it's you lot. Now, dare I say it, that has all sorts of implications for evangelism and for church life. Actually, it might be more important to spend time with your family or friends than to come to church. Did the vicar just say that and put that on tape? You know? Because what they hear frequently is, church matters more to us. Oh, I can't come to Great Aunt Agatha's birthday party because there's something going on at church. Well, actually, that says that what's going on at church is what's important, not Great Aunt Agatha's, significant life event. And so, there's a real challenge to us. And I think, dare I say, the longer we've been Christians and the longer we've been around church, the easier it is for us to spend more time with Christians and doing church stuff, and actually the less time we spend. This is in my diary, okay? If ever you want to get hold of the vicar on a Wednesday evening, you won't, because I'm playing tennis, mostly with non-Christians. Very inconvenient. Matt Taylor's come along. He's completely wrecked that one, but never mind. He's also wrecked my ego, but never mind. We also won't go into that one either. I like being richly humiliated on a weekly basis. but actually prioritising time where we spend time with people. And dare I say it, and I know you wouldn't do this, but spending time with people for people's sake, kind of not as kind of evangelism fodder. It's almost sometimes you kind of hear these kind of really kind of clever Christian evangelism schemes where you're going to identify these people and you're going to kind of build relationships with them so you can live. And actually, we should love people because Jesus loved people, and we're called to love people because God loves them and they're precious to Him, not because they've got a target on their back. I've realized I've gone over my time, and there's a whole lot of other stuff that I would love for you. One of the fascinating things about the survey is it doesn't just look at everyone, it breaks it down in different age groups, and there are fascinating things that come out kind of in millennials, 18 to 35s, kind of in older people groups, and I'm sorry I can't pick up on that. You can look at this stuff online, just Google Talking Jesus, and it is a fascinating read. Why does it matter? Because I just think there's some really big lessons that come out of it. People are much more open than we might expect. People are more positive about Jesus than we realize. And they're also more positive about us and us sharing our faith with them, because it's what matters to us than we think. And it doesn't need to be complicated. It can just be about making time for family and for friends. It can be literally about doing the most simple things of, after a conversation, offering someone a gospel to read. Think of the percentage of people that were impacted just by reading the Bible. It's about prioritizing time with family and friends, and being prepared to talk to them about what matters to us. Let's pray.